See how it feels to be matched based on compatibility. Log on and review your matches for free. eHarmony.com.
You may think that online dating will increase your chances of meeting the one, but a study out this week concludes that online dating does not increase your romantic success rate. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 9th. And we thought with Valentine's Day approaching and this new study out about online dating and success rates that we would talk about the trends in online dating and the pros and cons of online dating. And we would like to know if you have had any success with online dating. What do you like about it or dislike about it? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Catalina Toma. She's an assistant professor of communication arts at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and she specializes in how technology works in interpersonal relationships. So sounds like the perfect guest to have. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what's your reaction, at least to the headline of this study, that online dating doesn't necessarily make it result in a more successful relationship?
I think it's a reasonable conclusion, although it's not backed by a whole lot of data at this point, because online dating is still relatively young and we don't yet have a critical mass of people on whom we can study this question empirically with data. However, the idea that there's cons and there's pros to online dating makes a lot of sense. It's a complicated story. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's certainly not a relationship saver for America or for people around the world.
Yeah, and I guess it's complicated, but it was saying that sometimes it makes the online dating can make it harder to find Mr. Right or Ms. Right. It may make it harder to find the one, because part of it was there's so many choices.
That's right. So there's two issues to consider here. There's issues of relationship initiation, so actually finding people with whom we can start relationships. And the other issue is of relationship maintenance, management, and success in the long term. And those are two different issues. Mm-hmm. And online dating is really great in relationship initiation. It's providing you access to a lot of people who you might not normally meet in your regular face-to-face encounters. And that's particularly the case for people who are not in we call it a mate-rich environment, like college or high school, where there's lots of people your own age who tend to be single and who are interested in pursuing romantic relationships. So if you're not in that kind of environment, let's say that you recently divorced, you're an older adult, you're a workaholic, you don't have a lot of time to invest in a social network and meeting people that way, online dating is really great. It's providing you access to a pool of people who you know are single and you know are interested in online dating.
Yeah, that's an advantage, that you know that they want to date and they're single.
That's right. It's a great advantage compared to traditional encounters where nobody wears a badge that says, I'm single and I'm ready to mingle necessarily. That's the kind of information that you have to gauge in conversation. But in online dating, it's really clear that people are there for a reason. So that's really great. That's an improvement in terms of access. Now, as for whether the encounters that result from online dating are actually successful in the long run, that's a different story, and it's a more complicated story, and one on which we can only speculate at this point.
Mm-hmm. What are the? It's saying that it may not be successful in the long run. You're saying, number one, it's only really been around for 10 years. So what is the long run?
That's right. That's right. We need a little bit of a longer time.
But a lot of we just played an ad from eHarmony. It was saying, oh, we'll match you on all these compatibility factors, and trying to lead us to believe that if we put down our likes and interests and, I don't know, political beliefs, religious beliefs, and all these other personality traits, that somehow that eHarmony will give us, or these other sites will give us, the perfect match.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there's actually two things, in my opinion and the author's opinion, that online dating sites do that actually could potentially undermine relationship success. And one is the idea of matching. Matching actually doesn't have solid scientific support as of right now. There's not a lot of data that's telling us your personal characteristics need to match a certain way with another person's, and then you're compatible and everything is going to be all right. That data is missing at this point, so we cannot be certain about it. And the other thing is that eHarmony and lots of other sites are promoting this idea of that they're helping you find a soulmate. The idea that a soulmate exists, a perfect person exists for you, and once you find that person, you're going to live happily ever after. This, it turns out, in social psychology, is a quite detrimental idea for the success of relationships. People who believe that a soulmate exists and they need to find that person are more likely to get spooked by the slightest problems in relationships and abandon the relationship, because clearly if we're having problems, you cannot be my soulmate.
Right, there we go.
So we call those the destiny kind of people who believe that somebody's meant to be for you. And those ideas are problematic in relationships. And by contrast, there's people who believe in working it out. We call them the relationship growth type of people, who believe that, you know, relationships are all about facing the futures and the strengths of the future together and growing as a couple together. And those people tend to have more success in maintaining happy and long-lasting relationships. So in my opinion, online dating sites could do well by abandoning this soulmate or destiny type of idea.
Good to know. Speaking of which, Martha in Milwaukee joins us. Hello, Martha.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Are you laughing over this?
Oh, yeah, because it's a funny story. It has to do with eHarmony. Mm-hmm. And there are, I think it's 5 or 6 must-haves and can't-stands, you know, that you have to list. And so, you know, you go through this long thing, 26, you know, you're this way and that way, and what do you think, and so on. But the must-haves and can't-stands were supposed to be breakers, you know, that you wouldn't get a date that, you know, you couldn't stand. Well, the two of the can't stands were I am an atheist and I am also enjoy an occasional cocktail, and they fixed me up with a teetotaler who was proud of it and a Bible pusher. And I thought that was so funny. So after that, I had no faith in online dating anymore.
Oh, so that was your one and only experience? Because
no, I did Matchmaker and some others, but, you know, I never took it too seriously. You have to take it with a grain of salt.
So, and when you were, you just, they sent you this this person's profile. Did you see
right.
And just that one person, or they gave you others that were better?
No, two, but the only two that they sent me were these two that were the can't stands, you know. So, tongue in cheek, I wrote the guy who was the Bible pusher back and said, well, just so you know, I'm an atheist. And, of course, I never heard from him again. So
isn't that something?
Yeah, I thought that was so funny.
Well, I wonder, maybe there just weren't too many, cocktail-loving atheists who wanted a date at that time, Martha. What do you think? I don't know.
Well, you mentioned atheist, and I had to change it to agnostic because there are not too many atheists in the world, I guess.
Yeah, that's true too. You're already shrinking the pool there, I guess.
Right.
But it's not like you said you wouldn't go out with anybody that had any religion, or I mean, did you say you couldn't stand
no.
any?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of on a list of compatibility. They had the 5 must-haves, 5 can't stands, and I, where you thought you wouldn't be compatible at all, and I just thought it was amusing that they chose 2 of the can't stands.
I think it's amusing too. What do you think, Professor Toma?
I agree with you, Joyce. I think there might not have been enough candidates in the area for this person who has very specific tastes and preferences. And online dating is predicated on finding your date. So eHarmony must have felt compelled to send her a couple of plausible candidates, although they clearly didn't match.
Yeah. We are talking about online dating, talking about trends in online dating. We'll talk a little bit, prompted by a study that came out this week about about online dating and the whether it's successful or not. And we want your story too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Catalina Toma, Assistant Professor of Communication Arts at UW-Madison. And Professor Toma, you just tell a little bit about why you are specialize in technology and interpersonal relationships.
It's a little bit of a personal story. I came to the United States from back in Europe in 2000 for my college education. And at the time, I was young and scared and missing my family very much. And once I got here, I realized that technology, email, instant messenger, those kinds of things really allowed me to maintain those bonds and contributed incredibly to my emotional well-being and my ability to go through that transitional time. And that's when I became interested in the psychology of using communication and how it helps or hinders our personal relationships.
And this has really taken off in terms of the online dating scenario. I mean, when I was dating, it didn't exist. You went to the church social or the nightclub or wherever, to find that date. But now it's like almost the top way people go dating or make relationships.
That's right. It's witnessed an incredible growth. The statistics are ranking online dating as the number two way of meeting a potential partner or a spouse. And statistics for last year show that one in six marriages were the results of encounters online. And that's tremendous. That's a tremendous change. And even in the last decade, we've witnessed such a shift from seeing online dating as kind of a fringe activity for the people who couldn't find a date otherwise, who were desperate, so as to speak, to a very widely accepted mainstream type of activity.
Why do you think that happened? Why the change?
I think it fits very well with the lifestyle of many people. People who have to manage their careers, who are workaholics, who spend a lot of time at the office and do not necessarily have the time to foster a social network that allows them to constantly be meeting new people and forming relationships that way. It's easy, it's simple, and it's pretty cost effective as well.
Yeah, and that stigma you mentioned, that's gone. People don't think you're a loser or desperate if you're doing online dating anymore.
I would agree with that. Yes, yeah. Stigma's gone.
And are people presenting themselves accurately on these online dating sites? I know one of your specialties is deception in that online profile.
Yeah, this is a complicated question and one that many people have speculations about, and the speculations tend to be negative, particularly a few years ago when the stigma was still alive and well. And the speculations that there's lots of deception in online dating sites are stemming from this idea that all it takes is the click of a mouse to present a completely different persona. There's technological affordances that make it incredibly easy to lie. And people think that others lie because they can. It's easy to lie, hence other people will lie. And that's actually a simplistic idea that's not supported by research. We've collected lots of data on the accuracy of online dating profiles, and we've interviewed daters about their decisions to lie or to tell the truth, and the story is more complicated. On the one hand, yes, people are motivated to put their best face forward, to embellish themselves, particularly since the competition is pretty acute. There's millions of other online daters out there, and you want to make yourself stand out in some way. So there's certainly a desire for embellishment and putting your best face forward, and technology makes it easy to do so. It gives you the time to select your best photograph out of potentially hundreds of photographs that you may have in your personal collection. It gives you the time to think about what you're going to say in your self-description, how you're going to fill out the profile. So all of those are ways in which deception can happen and is a plausible strategy for self-presentation. However, there's also constraints against deception, so issues that make people want to be more honest. And the first of them, obviously, is that the majority of daters who want to form a relationship will have to meet the other person face-to-face. So online dating actually actualizes in a face-to-face setting where deception can be easily spotted. And research is telling us that deception in relationships is horrible. It's a deal breaker for many people. It's perceived as a major breach of trust. So you know that if you're going to lie, you're going to also take a big chance that this person will be disappointed with you and will not want to see you again. So that's one constraint. Another constraint is more internal in nature. People want to be loved and liked for who they really are. And research actually is showing us that the happiest and healthiest relationships are the ones we have with people who see us honestly, who see us how we see ourselves. So you want to find somebody who is going to like you for who you are, and you think that's pretty plausible because there are millions of potential partners out there. And this is a tension, again, for authenticity. So between authenticity and embellishment, people tend to choose authenticity. They do embellish a little bit. Our data is showing us that the majority of daters, about 80% of them, will lie about either their height, age, or weight, but the amount by which they lie is very small, almost non-noticeable. For height, it's on average of about half an inch, and it tends to be mostly men who lie about their height.
They're a half an inch taller.
That's right. A half an inch taller in their profile than they are in reality. And for weight, it's a little bit more substantial.
Women are about 10 pounds lighter.
It's about 2 pounds lighter on average for men and about 8.5 for women.
Oh, close.
So women tend to present a thinner persona.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, we are talking about trends in online dating and welcoming your experiences and your questions. Our guest studies this. She studies technology in interpersonal relationships. She is an assistant professor of communication arts at UW-Madison, Catalina Toma. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 26 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 9th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins today. We live in an age of abundant data, where information is consumed rapidly in many forms throughout various mediums. But can this lead to an overconsumption of information? Jean and his guest will talk about that coming up after 5. We're talking about information and online dating during this hour with Catalina Toma, who is an assistant professor of communication arts at UW-Madison. And we're asking you if you've ever participated in online dating. Did you like it or not? Call in and share your experience. Our first caller is Jim in Eau Claire. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. Great show. I'll start it off with the humor my wife uses. She says the best $50 she ever spent.
So your wife met you online?
We met each other that way. Mm-hmm. I worked the site just like I looked at it as serious as I could, just like a job. I'd come home from work, work the dating site, try to find a match. I was honest about everything that I did. I was looking for the same thing in a partner. And I was very clear on what I was looking for. I thought it was the best thing I could have ever done. It opened the dating scene up where I didn't have to go to the bars, the nightclubs. You know, I come from a small rural community, and it was a way to broaden it out, to be able to look further away. We were about 70 miles away. We got married. We have a little baby girl at 6 months old. This has all happened within the last 2 years.
Well, congratulations, Jim. Wow. And was your wife, or at the time, was she honest about her profile and all that?
She was. Mm-hmm. Yep. She had been on there for only 2 weeks, so she was new when it popped up. I had kind of, you know, you get to see the same people day after day, and when anybody new came on, that was when it was kind of like, okay, do I want to email her or not? And that's where it all starts. So you send a little email, and she wrote back, "I'm not done with my profile. Wait till I'm done and see if you still want to chat." And I didn't waste no time. She was what I would, you know, the nice thing is you can see the picture, too, if they're honest about the picture. So if you have images of what you're looking for, it also gives you that opportunity to screen through what you're looking for in a match.
So did you know she was the one pretty much right away, Jim, or not?
Within a week, we were hooked on each other. And that was just strictly phone conversations. Within 2 weeks, we took a nice trip to, actually, California. we just talked about, actually right at this time 2 years ago, we were in California.
Mm-hmm.
7 months later, we got married. We just knew it was perfect, but we both knew that we wanted to get going in life with it. We're in our 30s, and we wanted to have children. We wanted the things that we weren't able to find in our local towns.
I mean, I find this really interesting. It's a matter, let me get you in on this, Professor Toma. There is an element of timing involved in these relationships too, aren't there? In terms of, you know, the time is right and maybe the biological clock is ticking.
Absolutely. Timing is really important in relationships. And by that we mean, are you ready for a relationship? Is this something that you really want and you feel you can pursue at this time? And online dating is great in that it forces you to think about those issues. And in Jim's case, clearly he was ready. His wife-to-be was ready. And that worked out really well for them.
Yeah. And so when you were, are you still with us, Jim?
I am.
Yeah, when you were emailing and talking still online, obviously you thought, hey, this is promising, and I'm pretty sure this one's the one. When you met, were your expectations met? Were you how did you feel about that?
Everything was exactly what I was looking for. She came to my place first, which was, you know, normally not the norm. You would meet in a public place. We felt comfortable enough that that's what she did. I had several different dates that actually felt comfortable enough with me being honest, and we actually met at my place, and we went on our first date from there. I had lots of dates with this, but, you know, after that first date, you just kind of knew it wasn't going to work. There was a lot of weeding through dates to find the one that I wanted. But when she walked into my site, it was like I was head over heels.
Wow. How many dates did you go on?
In the course of 2 years, maybe 15, 20. There'd also be a couple of months span where I would date the girl several times. I was always honest that I didn't know for sure what I was looking for, and when I knew it, I would let them know, and they were the same with me. It was kind of like playing the dating scene, but I knew I wanted to settle down, but I was looking for the right girl to do it with.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you found her, Jim. Thank you for sharing your story. And again, congratulations. I was asking about the expectations because that was a part of the study that was released this week, Professor Toma, about how talk a little bit about that, that sometimes the expectation, you're disappointed when you meet the person in person.
That's right. So the question is, at what point should you be moving the relationship from the offline realm to from the online realm to the offline realm? And the conclusion of the study, and one with which I agree, is that sooner is better than later. And the reason for this is expectancy violations or being disappointed in plain terms. The more you interact with somebody online, the more it's likely that that person will put forth an idealized version of themselves. And online communication allows us to do so. It's editable. We can say something and revise it and take it back. It's asynchronous, meaning that we can take as much time as we want to compose that profile, to write that email. And people do take that time and the ability to perpetually revise our statements in order to put forth the most attractive and desirable and ideal version of themselves. And that's common. That's what people do. However, when you interact with somebody else, your conception of them changes and it potentially gets better than it should be. So if you prolong the interaction in the online realm, it's very likely that your idea of who this person is going to get better and better and better, unrealistically so, such that when you meet face to face, you're likely to be disappointed. The bubble will burst. You'll see that they have flaws. They're not as perfect as the photographs and as their claims. So the authors suggest that it's more desirable to move the interaction from the online to the offline rather soon, because that's when you see the embodied person, and more importantly, you see how you mesh together, what kind of interaction patterns you have with each other, which is something no dating site can offer you.
Just Jim was mentioning that he dated a number of women before he met the one, his wife now, that he did know what he wanted and was pretty certain what he wanted, and he wanted it now, but he wanted it with the right woman. He said that these dates, a lot of times he knew right away after the first date that this wasn't going to work. but knew even, you know, with his current wife now that that one was the one. Maybe you can just talk about, what is that typical for an online, you know, dating participant?
There's no studies that I know on this topic particularly, but I would say so. It's hard to know yourself, and it's hard to know who you want in another person. And oftentimes, these decisions are made on a more intuitive, subconscious kind of level. You meet them and you just know you're not meshing well together, but you may not necessarily know why. That kind of introspection is difficult, and it takes a long time to get to that point. So yes, it would make sense that you can sense that something is not going right when you meet the person face to face.
Take another call from Debbie in River Falls. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you. Are you involved in online dating?
Well, currently not, no. But my story is my husband passed of 33 years passed away 5 years ago, actually this time of year. Uh-huh. And so after he had been gone for 2 years, you know, initially I thought, no, I'm not interested in dating. I'm in my 50s. Who would want me?
Yeah.
Kind of such a, you know, thought that goes through your head. And then I did, you know, start feeling like I don't want to be alone. And I thought I noticed other men looking at me out in public and whatnot. So I kind of made this decision. I was going to try Match.com, and I really took it seriously. I, you know, announced it to everybody. I took a lot of time, you know, writing my profile, editing it, deciding what I wanted in a man. And I really, you know, took it very seriously, and I was all excited about it. And it was very, very proactive. You know, I'd contact the men, keep right, you know, whoever I saw that I liked. And I wanted that. I have to, you know, kind of look at the whole picture. It wasn't just the his words and his, you know, picture had to match for me to make a decision. But it really was a good experience. I felt like I had to get back up on the horse again somehow. How was I going to do this? I hadn't dated since I was 18, 19 mm-hmm. years of age. And I have some very fun stories of my dating experiences. I'd only usually, and I was very quick, like the professor said, to go from online, I wanted to meet them right away. And whether it was one, if I was thought I was one that interested in them, I wanted that date. I wanted to see them in person because I knew then if it would go further. So, yeah, it was a very, very good experience. I so enjoyed my time, and I worked full time, and my coworkers, you know, it was kind of like my big, you know, what did you do last night? So I'd be telling them about my dates. And
well, what, Debbie, you say you're not doing this anymore, meaning you got tired of it, or did you marry someone, or what?
No, I'm not married, but I have been in a relationship with a really great guy, and we are soulmates. He's younger than I am, and for 18 months now, and we're really, really happy together. We like the same things. We have, you know, same viewpoints on many life issues. We have our own lives. I'm, you know, have my children and my grandchildren and my home, and he has his loves, his fishing and his hunting and whatnot. And we've decided, you know, we're, you know, that we want to have a relationship. We want to be happy together, but we really honor each other's lives.
Yeah.
And we want to be separate. You know, we're together when we are together. We don't live together. And it keeps it really fresh and exciting.
Well, and I was wondering, though, Debbie, you did not meet this this beau online.
No, yeah. I did not. I did not meet him online. But from the online dating, it segued into going out dancing. I like to dance, going to live, you know, venues that have music and bands. I had a girlfriend that she and I would go out together. And, you know, it was just a step on my, you know, path of getting back into a relationship.
Well, I'm glad it worked that way for you. And I wish we had, maybe we have time for a quick, you said a very funny story. Was there one that will make us all laugh?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know. I know this is public radio, so I'll have to be careful here. But one in particular, I really liked what he said. I thought we matched. I'm kind of very earthy and spiritual, and all of he said, you know, just like his words just turned me on. So I kept looking at his picture, and it was kind of a blurry picture, and he had sunglasses on. And we started talking, or, you know, he called me right away. He wanted to call, you know, right after I contacted him. So that evening he called me, and it was late. It was like I was actually in bed, and I picked up the phone. And from that very first conversation, it was like under the covers. It was terrible. I mean, I felt bad because I was like, you know, I shouldn't be thinking this so soon about this guy, you know. And so we had decided to meet. Well, then I got scared, you know, thought, I can't meet this guy, because I was like thinking we're going to go to a hotel that day. And so anyway, I told him, you know, in a conversation, you know, shortly before we're going to meet, I said, I just want you to know that, you know, I'm not promising you anything, anywhere here. Anyway, so we did meet. It was on a Sunday for brunch, and I did keep staring at his picture, trying to see, do I like him? You know, do I like the way he looks or not? And when I met him, he was like this, like big, I don't want to say, I'm trying to think, Paul Bunyan type character. His pants were way, you know, his jeans were up too high. I mean, there was everything about him I didn't like. And, you know, I was very nice. We spent our, you know, we had our lunch together. I did not turn her and walk away or anything. I would never do that. But we had a great conversation, and he knew from the get-go that I was not.
You weren't, when you actually met him in person, you were not physically attracted to him.
Not physically attracted to him. And, you know, I went to the bathroom, and I, on my way back, you know, on the way to the bathroom, I go, okay, Debbie, you've got an hour and a half.
Or did you go out the bathroom window?
I did not go out the bathroom window. But
Debbie, I'm sorry. We're at break time, so I can't, it's fun, but we can't keep on this one. I bet you have a lot more stories too. A quick reaction. I mean, she got her back into dating after her husband passed away. And I'm sorry for your loss, Debbie. Very happy for your new beau. But here the guy she's with now was not somebody she met through online dating.
Well, I think there's something really reassuring about this story. The idea that there are options out there when you're going through a difficult time in your life. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're a widowed. You don't need the stress of worrying about, do I have any options? And online dating really provides you that that comfort, knowing that, yes, I could go on a date if I wanted to, and I don't have to stress about this anymore. And also, in Debbie's case, it helped her get into the mindset of dating, and that was an important step for her because she wasn't ready, and it's difficult to get ready after such a traumatic event. And it helped her get ready, it helped her ease into the dating world again, and eventually find somebody she's happy with.
Yeah. On Facebook, Jen writes, my husband and I met in a chat room back in 1996, way back when it was considered creepy. We met in person after talking nearly a year. He was in Tennessee and I was in Michigan. My friends were convinced that I would end up dead and buried somewhere. Oh, no. Needless to say, 13 years and 2 kids later, we are doing better than many who met in other ways. So it worked for Jen. But I'm trying to think. I mean, I always think of online dating as eHarmony or Match.com, but it's more than that. It's chat rooms, it's Facebook, it's all sorts of stuff. Or are we just talking about those organized sites?
Well, it certainly didn't start as an organized site. Mm-hmm. It started in chat rooms, in discussion boards, informally, in video games. People getting together on the internet around similarity of interests. And that's certainly an informal way to meet somebody. And those relationships have been well documented. In the 90s, they were all the rage. Everybody was shocked about the existence of these relationships. Mm. And only later on, I think Match was started in 1995, did dating become a more organized business that has really taken over.
Do we have to worry at all, or people who are on these online dating sites have to worry about the stalkers and the weirdos anymore, or is that pretty much taken care of?
I would say you always have to worry about that, online or offline. You have to be careful about who you're going to meet and who you're going to entrust your personal information to. and you have to use your best judgment. Of course, there will be stalkers and weirdos online, as well as in bars, as well as in other venues at the workplace, perhaps. So you have to be careful. You have to meet in a public space. You have to recognize that even though I may feel like I know this person a lot based on their profile, they're actually still a stranger, and exercising caution is still a good idea.
Right, and it's not like those sites. There's not a checkbox to check off that says stalker. They're not going to know if a person. They don't do criminal background checks, or do they?
There are a bunch of specialized sites where they do certain types of checks. For instance, I know of a site that's specifically dedicated to Ivy League daters. And to be a part of that site, you have to be a graduate of an Ivy League school, and you have to mail in your diploma, and they will verify that information. Uh-huh. But that comes at a premium. So doing this sort of background checks is expensive, and you should be willing to pay for it.
Yeah. We are talking with Catalina Toma, Assistant Professor of Communication Arts at UW-Madison. We're talking about trends in online dating and a new study that was released this week that talks about online dating, not necessarily making it, it might even make it harder to find the one, that certain special someone, according to this research. So we're talking a little bit about the latest trends and research with online dating, and we're looking for your stories and wondering if you've tried this or not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you. After 9, Kathleen will talk about in October of 1859, abolitionist John Brown and several followers seized the United States Armory and Arsenal at Harper's Ferry. Kathleen and her guests will discuss this raid and how it led to the Civil War. That's coming up. We're talking about trends in online dating with Valentine's Day coming up and a new study on online dating in the news this week. Samantha in Sauk City is our next caller. Hello, Samantha.
Hello, I'm in my latter 50s, and I tried eHarmony. I've been divorced for many years, and I just thought I'd like to meet someone. They had no matches for me at all. I have some other friends that the same thing happened. But the most discouraging part, and what totally stopped me from doing any online dating, I did meet a couple via another website, and in both, and in two cases, they were married. So I'm sorry to tell your guests that no, they're not all single out there who are on these sites, and so I immediately got off from it. I'm not seeing anybody right now, but better to see no one than to see someone married, I feel. And then, as I said, eHarmony, I did it because of their commercials on TV. But it's just like if you're older, they don't have matches for you, because I'm a pretty normal person, I think.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Samantha, so how did you find out that they were, they're just on there as married but separate?
No. They did not have it. I corresponded via the internet, and then I ended up calling them. And I don't know, through the conversation, they ended up telling me in both cases.
So they were lying that they were single, but they
were. They were lying, and that's right. And I just, it's like, okay, and I mean, it's like, okay, it was an experience. It's something I don't want to do anymore. I don't feel bad for myself. If I'm meant to meet someone, I suppose I will somewhere. But at this point, better no one than someone married. So I just, I'm not in favor of online dating for that reason. And as I said, eHarmony, I think they're pretty deceitful, because I know more than one person besides myself. There was no matches. So, no, they don't always match you up with someone. So
yeah.
I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Do you have a response? She said two of her dates were married, I think.
Sure, yeah. That's unfortunate. I'm sad to hear this. Our research, however, is a little bit more reassuring when it comes to relationship study. We conducted a large study We conducted a large study in New York City. We interviewed about 80 online daters, asked them about the accuracy of their profile. It turns out that the relational status was the one thing that people were the most accurate about. They weren't lying about being single or being separated in that one slightly more generalizable study. So there's still hope about that for sure. And I'd like to point out to Samantha that this kind of deception can happen anywhere. It's not necessarily tied to the online world. And also, the other idea that's important to recognize here is that there's two kinds of sites out there. There's self-matching sites and there's system-matching sites. So self-matching sites are like Match.com, for instance, where you're able to search for your own match and you will find matches to the extent that there's people in your geographic area who are single and online. These system matching sites like eHarmony will use their own algorithms to indicate matches to you. And perhaps they couldn't, in Samantha's case, perhaps they couldn't find somebody who matched her along the 29 personality dimensions that they look at. So one idea for Samantha might be that she could try one of the self-matching sites to look for her own potential matches.
Thank you, Samantha, and good luck to you in the future. Dan in Appleton is with us next. Hello, Dan.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what's your experience with this?
Well, I got a couple comments, and I got a small story for you. I have to agree about eHarmony. Probably about 12 years ago, 10 years ago, I tried that as well, and I ended up getting no matches, and I tried it a few times. And so I switched to the Yahoo personals, and I got a few responses, like a couple times a week, from women saying they were from other countries. And I did more research on it, and it looked like kind of like a scam thing was going on with that, too. I mean, I thought a random one, you know, here, but it was like, you know, maybe one or two times a week, like from Russia and stuff. And basically they were, you know, asking for tickets and money to get to the United States.
Yeah, that sounds scammy to me. Oh, what about you, Professor Toma?
It sure does. And there's certainly a possibility for these kinds of scams. Yeah. And I'm glad Dan realized that this was the case and didn't send that money and those tickets.
Yeah. And you had a story, Dan?
Yes, I did. I was on the Yahoo probably for a few months, and I could probably write a book on all the very different individuals out there. A lot of the comments your listeners were saying were very true about everything. I've experienced probably just about everything. But one day I did get an email from a person that lived 15 miles from me, and no picture. She was kind of shy, and I met people with pictures, and a lot of them were deceiving or 10 years old. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do it. And we've been together ever since, almost 8 years now. We have a child together. We're engaged. And I'll tell you, she is the best woman I've ever met in my life.
Well, there we go. Congratulations. And why didn't she send a picture, Dan?
She has a very higher corporate job, and she didn't want people to see it, and kind of, you know, she was kind of shy, and she didn't want people to know she was on there and this and that.
Interesting.
And I didn't blame her. I believed her. I'm like, you know, at least she's being honest, because I have other people, like I said, that had pictures that weren't honest, and she was beautiful. I mean, it was, after the first date, I mean, she had a job where she traveled a lot because she was divorced as well as me, and she had no children, and she's like, well, you know, I don't have anybody around, so just travel all the time for a job. And then after she met me, she accepted another job at her company where she didn't have to travel nearly as much. And we moved in together 8 months later, and we've been together ever since with our own family now.
Well, congratulations. So there we go, a success story. Any thoughts on that part of the story? I mean, the no picture, that's a different type of a dating site, though. Yahoo is more like personal ads, it sounded like.
Yahoo Personals is similar to Match.com. There's,
oh, okay.
There's one important difference here that's that would be good to talk about, which is that many people actually feel rather shy about posting their private information in a space that's publicly available like Yahoo Personals. Anybody can look for you. Anybody could find you at a click of a button. And people feel that their dating history and preferences and tastes and all of that stuff is very personal. And they'd rather not be found by coworkers and friends and people from their traditional offline settings.
I would guess that you would put an alias name down then.
You could certainly put an alias name, but a photograph would make you highly recognizable. Yeah. However, it's important to realize that there's two kinds of sites. There's free sites and there's paid sites. So the free sites are Yahoo, Personals, OkCupid, where the sites derive the revenue from advertising, and those are publicly available and publicly searchable. The paid-for sites, usually you have to make an account for yourself, and you have to pay the fee to access the database of daters. So this, in a way, guarantees that the only people who will be looking at your profile are other daters who are paying to have access to the service, and it provides more security and more comfort to people who are shy or very private about themselves.
I get it. And we'll go now to Dawn in Duluth. Hello, Dawn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you have luck or not with online dating?
Yes, I was quite surprised at the outcome. I went on the online dating sites not looking for the one. I was just open and looking for companionship, someone to go to movies with, enjoy snowshoeing, have interesting conversation, and certainly wasn't looking to be married. I met my husband, my now husband, on Match.com, and he went on Match.com wanting to prove to himself that there wasn't a match out there for him. And
really?
He had had long-term relationships before and just didn't really find a great match prior to that, so he thought he'd prove to himself that there wasn't a great match. And we were both pleasantly surprised. In the week before we met in person, he would email me pictures of his nature photography, because he was an aspiring nature photographer. So he'd send me these beautiful pictures of northern Minnesota each day by email. And then we met and found out we had so many things in common, so many interests and common goals in life. And 10 months later, we were married. Neither of us was looking to get married. And we have so much fun being ourselves together. And on our second date, we went on a winter photography hike, and since then we have formed a nature photography business together.
Wonderful. So, I mean, what a great success story here. Found love and found a business venture at the same time.
That's right. Congratulations, Dawn.
That's wonderful. How many marriages did you say result from these online dating sites?
Last year was 1 in 6.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty high, actually. And this study is coming out saying that maybe online dating it makes it harder to find the one. But you're saying that this study, we need to study the study more.
I think the study is correct. It's telling us it's making it easier to find the one, but it's not telling us how long you're going to have that one person. So again, that there's a distinction between initiating the relationship, starting it, and then maintaining it for a long period of time. So we know that online dating is pretty good at helping you find somebody, initiating, starting a relationship. And time will tell how long that relationship will last and how happy it's going to be in the long run.
Yeah, well, online dating is, I presume, is here to stay, and it's going to do nothing but grow. What do you think?
I completely agree. It's here to stay, and it will grow and just get more and more popular.
Is there any other trends or something cutting edge when it comes to online dating that we haven't talked about? We have about a minute or so to go.
I think the trend is for increasingly more specialized dating sites. The volume of information on dating sites currently is pretty high. There's an information management problem that many people have to deal with, particularly those who live in large urban areas. There's potentially hundreds of matches that you have to sift through, and meeting them face-to-face is costly and time-consuming, energy-consuming, costly on a variety of levels. So the trend, at least in those areas, is to have more specialized dating sites, such as JDate, which is a site for Jewish daters, Ivy League Date, which is a site for people with Ivy League degrees interested in finding somebody similar, and so on and so forth.
Do you think, and again, we're very short on time, but do you think the sites that try to match you up with all these personality traits and compatibility measures are going to drop that, as you advise?
We'll see. People like the idea of being scientifically matched, and it's going to be interesting when eHarmony finally releases their proprietary protocol for matching people so that us scientists could actually study
it
and
see
if it works.
Well, what an interesting line of study. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Catalina Toma, Assistant Professor of Communication Arts at UW-Madison. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for producing the hour, and to Rob Ferret and to Bill Martins for on-air direction and production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.